This is an audio test. 1, 2, 3. Hello, Jay. Can you confirm if the line is clear? Test 1, 2, 3. Test 1, 2, 3. Hello, Jay. Can you hear me?
1, 2.
No, I mean the audio.
Yep, I can hear you now, Jay. Thank you.
All right. Okay. All right. That's better. Let me know if I can place you back into the main conference.
Yes, please put it back. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
We'll be beginning in just 1 or 2 minutes. Thank you. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the open meeting of the Commercial Stakeholders Group, October 20th, 2015, here in partly sunny Dublin, Ireland. I'm Greg Shatton, president of the Intellectual Property Constituency, and as is the CSG tradition, the IPC is in charge of planning and carrying out the CSG activities at this meeting, and then we get to rest for 2 more meetings. So thank you for letting us have the opportunity to run things this time around. We'll get right into the agenda. As you can see, we'll be talking about any final preparation for the board roundtable that immediately follows this meeting in the auditorium. Right behind us, or to the left of us. And then after that, we'll have a discussion of the... I'll give a brief update, along with Wolf Ulrich, if he is here, on the IANA stewardship transition, which is in good shape. And we'll be talking about the possible intersessional, and then several items on accountability, and finally... all other business. So, but the first item in here is introduction of any new officers, counselors, and secretariat. But I'll make that part of just an introduction around the table and behind us as well. So, if you are an incoming or present officer of one of the three constituencies, please identify yourself as such. Or if you're outgoing, you can identify yourself as such, and I'll thank you for your service. So, since I've already said who I am, Greg Shatton, Intellectual Property Constituency, and I'll hand it off to my left.
Good morning, all. Philip Corwin. I'm at currently interim chairman of the business constituency until we hold elections next month. I've been filling in since mid-year. I'm also one of the two GNSO counselors for the BC and was just reelected to a full 2-year term, so I'm both an incoming and new counselor. Tony.
Good morning. My name is Tony Harris. I'm with the ISPCP constituency. I've just been elected as a member of the GNSO Council.
Good morning, everybody. Tony Holmes, and I'm chair of the ISP constituency.
Morning. Patrick Rainford, member of IPC, representing FICP.
Annie Kamin-Scalise, IPC member.
Heather Forrest, GNSO Counselor for the IPC.
Christian Dawson, representing the I2 Coalition with the ISPCP.
Jay Sadowski, the BC.
Alain Bideron, ISPCP.
And Paul Mitchell, BC.
Barbara Warner, BC.
Todd Williams, IPC.
Jean-Louis Leroux, IPC.
Paul McGrady, newly elected GNSO Counselor for the IPC.
Chris Wilson with the BC.
John Taylor Hodges, ISPCP.
Claudia Sally, AT&T, BC.
Colin O'Brien, IPC.
Jay Chapman, BC.
John Berard with the BC.
Jimson Olufuye, BC, Vice Chair, Finance and Operation.
Osvaldo Novoa, ISPCP, outgoing counselor.
Wolf-Ulrich Knoben from the ISPCP and incoming counselor.
Olivier Muron from the ISPCP.
Jim Baskin, ISPCP.
Angie Graves, BC.
Mahmoud Latouf, BC.
Esteban Lescano, ISPCP.
David Ferris, BC.
Lori Schulman, incoming treasurer, IPC.
Steve Metallitz, vice president, IPC.
Mark Trachtenberg, IPC.
Jonathan Cohen, IPC.
Kevin Aldrit, BC.
Oaks, semantic visitor.
Chris Chaplow, BC.
Sandra Czernowska, academia.
Steve Coates, Twitter, BC.
Laura Covington, Yahoo, BC.
Scott Hayden, Amazon, BC. Andrew Harris lost his voice, Amazon, BC.
Izumi Hakutani, JP Nick, ISPCP.
Steve Mace, NCTA Observer.
Oliver Zumi, ISPCP.
Matt Serlin, Mark Monitor, BC.
Judy Sung Marshall, New Star.
Dan O'Neill, WBC Global Observer.
Pete Sheckler, IPC.
Kresen Ezekwu, Validez, IPC.
Richard Pringle, IPC.
Karen Bernstein, IPC.
Griffin Barnett, Mayor Brown, IPC.
Eva Zane, CSC, I'm a visitor.
Malcolm Hutty, links to London Internet Exchange and ISPCP.
Akinori Maimura, JPNIC and ISPCP.
All right, Susan Kawaguchi, BC, GNSO counselor.
Thank you all. My alternative was to have Jonathan Zuck say all of your names, but thankfully the microphone came around in time. Last but not least, I'd like to introduce our new secretariat, Chantal Dirksen. Why don't you? Oh, we've left you without a microphone.
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Chantal Dirksen. I'm your new secretariat support. My background's in international relations and community relations, so I look forward to working with you all.
Thank you, and I'll say that Chantel has already been incredibly invaluable at this meeting in assisting and supporting us, and looking forward to a long and fruitful relationship for all three constituencies with Chantel. So moving on to our first substantive point, final preparations for the board roundtable. First, I'd like to just mention the process that we'll be using. As we did in Buenos Aires, it'll be a roundtable with about a half a dozen board members or so, and half a dozen members of each constituency separately. Each constituency will have a half an hour with the board on the topics of their choice that have previously been chosen. And as the host constituency for this event, IPC will be in charge of overall timing. We've learned that if there's nobody watching overall timing, the third constituency is left with very little time. And to incentivize the IPC to do a good job of holding the first two IPC will have that last slot. And I have installed a new meeting timer app on my phone, which I will be using. Each of the three slots will be chaired by a representative of the constituency, their chair or president if they choose. So they should be primarily running the 30 minutes that they have. And then I'll just keep an eye on the overall clock and then run our 30 minutes. In Buenos Aires, it's actually a little shocking to find that one of us was expected chair, but I guess that's part of the bottom-up multi-stakeholder process that neither board nor staff was chairing their roundtable between us and the board, and that's probably a good thing. So I'm not sure if we need to have any discussion on topics, but I think it would help to at least mention again the topics that we have chosen to go talk about with the board. And I'll start with the ISPs because they have the first slot.
Okay, I'll pick up on that. Greg, thanks. But before I do, question to you that I think you were going to clarify was whether during these interactions with the board, they were looking for any feedback from our constituencies with regards to IANA and where we currently are as constituencies in that instance. Do you have any update?
I've not heard back yet.
Okay, because that has the potential to impact on our strict 30-minute slots. So Not sure how we handle that. But the two topics for the ISPs, the first one we're going to talk about, and it's the biggest one for us, is the universal acceptance issue. Christian is going to lead that topic for us, and Tony and others will be there. So that will be for the bulk of our 30 minutes, probably for 20 minutes or so. The final issue we're going to pick up on is some concerns we have over the current structure, our disappointment with the failure of the recent GNSO review to address structural issues, and in particular some some ways that that impacts our thinking going forward as ISPs. We still very much support that we need a structural revision. But we also want to start working in a different way, and we need to make the board aware of what we plan to do. We're planning to try and have it on a technical day to take that forward. We want to get it on the board's horizon that we're looking for changes, and how that relates to the new meeting structure is something else that hasn't been developed, but it seems pertinent to us to flag that to the board now, that we are still looking at structural reform or looking towards that occurring in some way or the other, and some of those elements will be broader than just the GNSO reform as well. So that's what we're covering. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you. Next, I'll turn to the BC.
We're going to be raising issues related to the next round of new DLDs and the review and planning process going into that. I'm hoping we're going to have a wrap with Tony, where we have some issues with the GNSO review report. Susan Kawaguchi, my fellow BC counselor, is more familiar with the details than I am, and it do wind up looking like we're overlapping with the ISPs on board review. GNSO review, we may also bring up alternatively just concerns about all the major PDPs on the horizon and kind of general lack of bandwidth and stakeholder burnout when so many major come rising at the same time, particularly when accountability is not.
Thanks, Phil. And I think a previous meeting we had of the CSG, we didn't get from Susan more detail on the GNSO review, and I'm wondering if it's possible to get a thumbnail sketch from Susan on that.
I didn't communicate this to the CERN that if we brought GNSO, they had, that would be duplicative. So we've removed
that. Correct.
Thank you, Susan, for clarifying that. It's always good. That's why we have this final preparation slot here to deal with things, because it's the only constant change.
Yes. Sorry, just to interject. Being aware of that, what I will also look to do is to try and make the points for all of our CSG constituencies that we are somewhat disappointed with the outcome of that review and try and cover it off that way.
Thanks. And I think I would point out, I'm sure you would, the very idea that you're running a technical day when the BC and the IPC would have no business trying to do such a thing kind of points out the fact that we're, an ill-suited, Siamese triplets that have been sewn together.
A bad marriage.
Yes. Oh, I don't know. It's not that bad. We enjoy each other's company, but, we don't share a lot of the same interests, but, the house is still in good shape. In any case, I'll now turn to Steve Metallitz to go over the IAPC's topics.
Fortunately, I'm not planning to do any marriage counseling amongst our constituencies. Our main topic will be contract compliance, not surprisingly, and obviously this is a bit of a moving target with Fadi's remarks at the plenary yesterday regarding what I can, will, and won't do to deal with the problem of widespread infringement and other illegal abusive behaviors, and the fact that contract provision addressing this and what they intend to do about it. So that's kind of going to be the focus of our presentation. Our second topic has kind of been overtaken by events that was
on. Thank you, Steve. I think that takes care of the final preparation for the board roundtable. And we're actually 5 minutes ahead of schedule, which is great. So next I have IANA stewardship update. I put my name in there, but because I am the representative of the commercial stakeholder group to the CWG IANA stewardship. But as you all know, some months ago by now, the CWG essentially finished its proposal and handed it up to the ICG. And Wolf Ulrich Knobin is our representative on the ICG. So I'd like to actually turn it over to Wolf Ulrich to talk about where things stand with the ICG.
Thanks, Rick. For you speaking. So I think maybe some of you attended yesterday the so-called ICG engagement session. Did make so short as it used to be yesterday, surprisingly. It was a nice meeting, just a presentation given, no questions. So it could seem that work is done because there were no questions. But the ICG is aware that there is still work done. And I wouldn't go just through the presentation which was done. The status is the ICG is in charge of to deliver the combined proposal of all three operational communities from the numbering, from the protocols, and from the naming side, and deliver that via the board, the ICANN board, to the NTIA. So why I'm saying via the board, that is the a legal aspect which the relying on. We have got a very early statement from the board that they would just take the proposal and put it forward as it is, maybe with a comment accompanying that proposal. So where are we? All three proposals have been delivered. At during the summertime, an extended comment period. We have had questions forward and backwards with regards to the CE proposal. The major issues from our perspective solved at that point where it comes to the question of the dependency proposal from the input from the CCWG. Or that there's a dependency that the CWG proposal is relying on the input from the accountability part. If there is a go given from the CWG that the accountability part fits to their expectation, then the proposal is ready to be sent A from our perspective. So from an ICG point of view, there is not consensus saying full consensus. There is a rough consensus well about that what is at the table at the time proposal and for the other proposals well to be delivered. So we are waiting for that that go from the CW issues. So we will have coming from the outcome from that ICANN meeting, from the different aspects, we will have another meeting on Thursday and maybe on Friday to refine the combined proposal. And then there's a plan to put it to the lake, so our website, as a status update, not as a final proposal that we cannot do until the go is given by CWG, but as a kind of update of the current proposal. Then wait and see. That's from the ICG's point of view, the case. So there is another issue then, which is started to be discussed within the ICG, is what is to be done afterwards. What does it mean? Where is implementation, the question? Is there any role or task to be given to a question, a kind of side of the implementation or whatever? So this is contentiously discussed, and it is the opinion, the overall opinion is that this is up to the operational communities decide upon whether there should be covered yet in our charter of the ICG. There's nothing said about this should be up to the operational communities to discuss that point, how the implementation is going to be organized. And then if from that some request towards the ICG, so we would stand by and think about what's done in this area. I saw implementation is already on the agenda, as I think Fadi was saying. The question is then how is that really developed, organized, and in a way community is engaged in that and can see that the outcome shall be of the implementation body. So that's in total from the ICG point of view. I don't go further on in detail, but single proposals, but that is what the status is.
Thank you, Wolfgang. It's very helpful. And I will mention that the CWG is already involved in implementation planning. We have an implementation chart that we've been preparing to plot out the various different streams of work for implementation for the IANA transition in terms of the names work. We also have our outside counsel from Sidley Austin working on first draft of the bylaws that changes and additions that will be specifically required by the IANA transition. And I expect CWG will be seeing first drafts of those in approximately 2 to 3 weeks. For some reason, our lawyers seem to be otherwise occupied in Dublin and not working on the bylaws for the CWG. Next, Anne?
Wolf Ulrich is on the ICG work when accountability after ability delivers its work. I mentioned a status report before that work is final, but once that work is final, does all the ICG work get published for comment or no more public comment because it's all been through public comment prior to coming to the ICG?
I guess Wolf Ulrich, the question was whether there would be any further public comment periods on anything that the ICG is doing. That ICG did run a public comment period.
When it's all final.
The ICG is not yet planning any. I don't know whether it's needed, you know, we would have another round. That depends, you know, the process is the following. If that is the case, then it comes back to the CWG. If they have amended their proposal and what's going to happen may be necessary, but at the time being, we don't see.
Yeah, I was just wondering if it might solve a problem for accountability because they'd like to not have to have additional public comment right now in order to stay on timeline, and I sent it to ICG, and ICG did that make any difference, but it apparently not because you're not planning a public comment period.
Right, and also remember the accountability group's work does not go through the ICG. It goes to the board, and the board is obligated by a resolution passed by the board to pass it on directly to the NTIA. So the ICG does not get into the accountability business per se, for better or worse. Just a few brief remarks on the non-contracted parties house intersessional. There's not much of an update. Oh, Jimson? Yes.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to underscore something based on Wolf's presentation, and that is that as ICG coordinate, the work of coordination is not complete until what you are coordinating is accomplished. So that has to do with the, even up to the implementation side now, opinion. So that means ICG needs to know that they have to really fully coordinate the full implementation of the proposal they are also meeting in terms of overseeing all these various segments, what the numbers and community and the naming community have committed to do. That's my thought line on his presentation. Thank you.
Wolf Ulrich, would you like to respond to that?
Yes, thank you. Just for clarification, that is exactly a contentious point in the ICG. So to what extent the ICG should exist in order to be ready to do something, regards the implementation or whatever. The discussion ranges from there is not any point related to implementation which is on the list, on the task list of the ICG, because it's not in the charter at the time being. So we're talking about amending the charter. But, that was one point. The other thing is, what does it mean? Until it is fully coordinated. Yeah? So this is 2 weeks. Yeah. We decided at the time being to let the ICG exist until September 2018, as the NTIA contract is living at the time being, stand by. And in between, if there is, and the trigger must come from the operational communities, not from the ICG, because the operational communities are the ones who have the real interest in that implemented in the in from their perspective, the right way. So if there is coming something back from their side, so we will be ready to step.
Thank you, Wolf Ulrich. Anything further on this point? Anne, is that a new hand? Thank you. Well, we're all looking forward to the next steps in the transition process, and we'll be getting to the topic of accountability shortly. We will have one of the co-chairs, Leon, will be joining us. And, of course, we have our stalwart CSG representative and member of the CCWG, Steve Del Bianco, who will be prepared to make a few remarks. And sitting next to him is Jonathan Zuck, who's also been very, very active in the CCWG, as have I and Ann Aikman-Scalise as well from the IP, and you know, others around this, in this room have been active as well. So it won't, it doesn't just have to be, it'll be a robust discussion, hopefully. For that, just a few remarks on the non-contracted parties house intercessional. And it's a sort of a short update because, like so many other things that have been swamped by accountability, volunteer burnout, multiple open comment periods of great substance, non-commercial parties house planning, the intersessional planning has really not gotten off the ground. But I think that's something that we need as a stakeholder group and with the NCSG to get off the ground really right after Dublin. So I think that my suggestion or our suggestion would be that each of the three constituencies puts forth one or two leads. It's been done to some extent already, but you know, right after this meeting, put forth one or two leads, and then that those leads can form a planning group amongst themselves. We have an internal planning group already within our group, but you know, clearly there needs to be coordination, then a coordination across. Then this probably would occur somewhere in the late January, early February time frame, so as not to be too close to Marrakesh and not to get caught up in the kind of holiday season in December. Of course, if the I've heard a few people use the word intersessional in another context, which is the possibility of an ICANN intersessional, if that's needed to close the accountability work and get the chartering organizations to support that. So who knows if that will have any effect on our interest in intersessional planning or if such a relatively unprecedented and intersessional would actually even take place. But as I said before, the only constant is change. Given that we're actually running about 15 minutes ahead of schedule, and Leon is not yet with us, wanted to turn to a topic, and I don't unfortunately have this able to be put up on the screen, but we have been discussing amongst the three constituencies a short statement to be issued with regard to the accountability work, and over the course of the last 24 hours, the IPC has indicated, you know, by individuals on our list and in our meetings, support for the following statement, which I believe is consistent with what the other two constituencies may be looking at. I'll read it out. As apologies that I didn't warn Chantel that I'm doing this, and she's not here at the moment. So, but it's only one sentence, so that shouldn't be too tough. And here, consistent with the joint statement issued by the GNSO at ICANN 50 in London, the CSG supports the development of an independent accountability mechanism via the process currently being followed by the CCWG accountability. That's it. Basically just supporting the work and supporting letting the CCWG accountability do its work implicitly without undue interference. But that is the statement, and I'll take a cue, see if there's any comments on this statement, or to see whether the other two constituencies have, in fact, you know, finished considering this or are ready to do so. So I see first Anne and then Paul.
Well, I just had confirmation, both ISP and the BC, that they, if asked by the board, but I mean, I'll let them speak for a moment.
Yes, Anne was part of the small team that was coordinating this, so I appreciate that. Paul?
Is there a record? No. Oh, I don't have to say my name. Terrific. Can you put it on the board? Can you?
I'll take care of it.
Yeah, I'd like to, if we could visualize it, it would be helpful.
Bianco has presenter's rights, or do you not? Okay, very good. Yes. Yes, okay. I have a next question. I don't see any hands up in the chat room. Do we have any?
No, sure. Whether or not I have to ask a question.
Sure. I'll read it out again. Joint statement issued by the GNSO at ICANN 50 in London. CSG supports the development of an independent account via the process currently being followed by the CCWG.
Why is this singular? We're just looking for one independent accountability mechanism?
The overall mechanism, and maybe those who are working on the topic can explain why that particular phrase was chosen.
Because yes, of the London statement, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
It's a quote from the London.
Olivier mentioned, let's just go back to the London statement. From
clarify that GNSO put out a unanimous statement at the time of London and used this phrase. So the idea here is to essentially reiterate from that earlier consensus statement of the GNSO.
Yeah, I understand, but it's the fact that not a singular. This could easily be read as we'll be happy with
the intention. I don't read it that way. You know, and on the CCWG, I think higher proposal could be characterized as a mechanism, but I'll take a cue on this. Jonathan?
I guess the definition of consistent might be the operating word here. If we're just trying to be consistent with it, does that need a word, or could we just substitute framework for mechanism? Paul's concern and be more accurate and still be, layman's terms, consistent with the GNSO.
Thanks, Jonathan. Paul, what do you think of that?
Framework works. Thank you.
I would also prefer a framework, and I think that's a good suggestion from our bearded duo.
Yeah, I think Olivia. It's a better. Now we are using mechanism for some.
Yes, since the only constant is change, we using things that haven't changed sometimes has the effect of not communicating what they used to communicate. Anybody who's listened to the argument about private sector means will know that using a term that once meant something clearly only can result in confusion when tried to apply it in the present day. So I know that we don't have Leon here yet, but I think unless the next thing on our schedule is, and
topic of Avery's motion, and got it. Oh, sorry.
The next topic, which is up on the screen, also regarding accountability, a motion which has been crafted tonight, during yesterday by Doria, and I don't know how many of you can read it on the screen. I will read it out loud for those who are not in Adobe and try to read it neither too quickly nor too slowly.
Greg, well, yes. Honestly, the only thing you have to focus on is the resolved clause.
Yes.
So scroll up to the resolved clause.
Yes.
And pay particular attention to the letters in bold.
Thanks. And we've had some discussion, at least amongst in the IPC, about our thoughts on that. So everyone can read the part for themselves. The last part, it says, resolved, GNSO reiterates its support for the process that is ongoing in CCWG accountability, commitment to participating in continuing discussions with the goal of finding solutions, with broad agreement for ICANN accountability in preparations for IANA, and that probably should be preparation for IANA transition, and to working through the process as agreed upon in the Charter before making any resolutions declaring support or opposition to possible outcomes.
Thanks, Steve Del Bianco. And in the BC and in the CCW, widely acknowledged that Aubrey, in this case, drafted that last. Otherwise, other than that last resolved clause, it's really very similar. This is a little bit different because it tries to express Aubrey's discomfort and discomfort of many of us on the notion that yesterday the ALAC decided to gather a particular element of the current debate in CCWG, that is, resolution yesterday to say that they withdrew. There's a key element of enforcement, the membership, without actually saying what it is they would prefer instead. I think that was implied. And because of that move, it definitely steered the debate. It moved the needle. It healed a bit yesterday. There were other events that happened when the board came out and said it did it too. embrace the designator model. And I'll cover that in detail when you see. But for now, we have to understand in council whether the 3CS motion is a good idea. Everything it expresses is fine. It's just a tiny bit of, well, a tiny bit of a shot at the ALAC in the last paragraph. I fully support sentiment that we should not try to take resolutions from GNSO as a chartering organization until we see the full package. To that extent, and Steve's nodding, right, so to that extent, let's see the whole package before we pick and choose a piece of it to take an issue with. In fact, you have an issue with a particular part, like 29 and 30, right, core values. The best way to work it is through all of us here at the table in the process, change in the next draft. This particular motion, as long as you don't feel as if it's too direct agreement with the ALAC, and to the extent we are concerned with keeping that relationship constructive, I think it's worthy of our support.
Thanks, Steve. In the IPC, floated around with general support, as many as we got, you know, given the timing, the idea of ending the statement with the word charter, so that the last clause would read only, to working through the process as agreed upon in the charter, period. My rough analogy is that this may still be a thumb in the eye to ALAC, but at least we're not twisting our thumb in the eye by going through the rest of the sentence. So that would be, my view is that would be a little more subtle and diplomatic. But I'll take views from others. Olivia?
Yes, I think I agree with you. I think we should just drop the last word, but... So we call to the charter. That's enough, because as we said, the first point we want message is to support the process, and support the process against outside intervention. Outside intervention, you know what it is. I mean, it's more than the board. I cannot say that ALAC is outside intervention. So the problem between NCUC and ALAC is another one. You have a strong statement, a strong motion. We should just drop the last few words. It doesn't change much, but it does not target ALAC as much, as ALAC is not one of the problems of intervention we have now in the process.
Steve Dobianca?
Thanks, Greg. Olivier, thank you for that, and it's good to know that the IPC, the two of you, feel it's appropriate to after charter. I'm sure the BC was timing on this, because it's a late motion. It means that I know council's not till tomorrow, but this may have to be resolved on the list today. So I would ask, has Avery been offered your amendment, a friendly amendment, to stop it after the word charter?
Avery's been offered the amendment over a beer at the gala last night, which may not qualify as a formal offer. But generally, Avery was receptive. I will note that it was relatively well into the gala. But generally, you know, she's open and receptive, friendly amendments on this, and is also looking for a second. And it would actually be a very nice message if IPC or, you know, the stakeholder groups, you know, in this group found a way to be that second if we, you know, so moved.
I should clarify that the BC met yesterday, considered the original motion. Our BC room was willing to second it. Bill and Susan, did we second this yet on list?
I don't believe we formally have, but I also ran into Avery during the gala last night. Earlier into it, credibility of the statements exchange may be higher. But I had indicated that the BC was looking favorably toward it, and she asked me if I'd willing to second, and I indicated I didn't see any reason why it's appropriate to do that online. I can hear that, Steve.
If possible, let's try to have an organized CSG coordination,
yeah.
But I leave it to the council.
I did tell her that we wanted to see where the rest of the CSG was this morning.
Right. I know Matthew is in line too, but I was putting a question to our councillors of that if, in fact, Avery didn't accept the amendment, I still hope that the three constituencies would support the motion, since it's certainly feeling that it might be a thumb in the eye that's being twisted, notwithstanding. We should do our best to soften it if you think that's opposed, if she doesn't accept. Thank you.
Malcolm?
Thank you. I'm just giving a reaction. In the abstract, I don't read this as being ALAC resolution. I read saying that we are subverting the GNSO's right to reaffirming that position as saying, now, if that's the meaning, I would think that that's a good thing. An ambiguity about that. makes it look, I don't want to put a thumb in the eye to ALAC, but if it looks a bit like that, then maybe the change is not to drop off the last day, maybe instead of talking about no verify, the kind of resolution we're referring to regarding transition or regarding the completion rather than resolutions about what the... So...
I can assure you, ALAC procedure...
I can appreciate that given your explanation, but and I think that is something that it would be useful to clarify so as to remove, but to refine this in a way that rather than move that it being directed at ALAC and instead our continuing affirmation that the CCWG work...
Thanks, I'll take Anne.
I guess I buy GNSO Council, and I'm not sure that we actually muzzle SOs in a reference to, hey, guys, let's not treat this in fashion, but you're identifying what the GNSO... By use of this motion, we're not trying to totally... Well, is this framed in terms of GNSO?
My understanding is that it was drafted in reaction to the ALAC statement. Suggest that to come out with statements either in support of or in opposite elements of mm-hmm. the proposal not happen.
I think that's definitely true, but we all want to avoid, you know, ALAC for that, and then we all want to reserve the... Yet it's a stronger statement about is and is not premature if we leave the last portion on, and I think Malcolm's suggestion to frame it in terms of council resolution is would I'm not sure would be useful.
Thanks, Phil.
Consistent with the goal of both not directing it directly at AI thumbing and also to be more precise, perhaps we could simply in this last phrase before the word charter introduce CCWG so it's clear we're talking about the CCD charter. And before resolutions, I agree, put in the word council. So it's then we're not talking about any particular group. We're just saying we support the process, we're committed to participating, and we're going to wait till the process is over, charter before the council makes the final decision on it.
I guess, you know, we shouldn't spend too much time on this because it's not clear at this point whether the contracted parties and also the more we... really need to get together with the moving party to see what would actually fly in terms of a change. So if it is clarified that we're referring to GNSO resolutions, but then again, I don't think that GNSO probably would not deal with this by resolution anyway. So that's kind of an oddball reference too, because that has nothing to do with the way the GNSO council expresses itself. And no such thing as a GNSO resolution. So,
what about GNSO?
Well, that's very rare. That was actually done not by the council, but by the chair. So that was done at the chair and president level, rather than the council table level. So that's still not a council. Ultimately, this has to be approved by the chartering organization. So what will ultimately happen will be that council, as was done with the CWG report, it will be brought up and the approval of the council. Trying to recast this as if it was about the GNSO, I think, is actually kind of getting off track. I like the sentiment, but I think it's getting off track of what was originally planned and as such would be unlikely to be accepted as a friendly amendment. But I thought of general discussion and perhaps task our counselors and anybody on the small team to perhaps approach Avery to see where the thing on this might be and try to be supportive. I think the general sentiment is to not go too heavy on ALAC, but not if we try to change the essential reason that paragraph was drafted, that's not going to be really a friendly amendment, at least.
Are going according to the process, and it's part of their participation in the process. The fact that, hey, guys, we can't get this through, that's really what the statement says.
Right.
So they would say
they're allowed their opinion. Heather?
That's why I think it's a bit weak if we cut off after the word. Very important that we support Avery's.
Forrest, two comments. One, up on where the wind is blowing. We have an informal opportunity tonight to see where the wind is. Let's say, because of constituency day, we're not. My question, and I don't mean to reopen this, I ask it at a late. Strikes me from Steve Del Bianco's comments, Anne's comments, from other comments that have been made. My mind is, but for the actions of the ALAC, would we be on our agenda today? So I think that's something we're dancing around this issue of you know, how do we, in reality, seems to me that but for the actions of the ALAC, we wouldn't.
Thanks, Heather, and I think that's a good last word on that topic. So I think the next topic on our agenda is accountability.
Greg, I'm sorry, I don't understand what we've all decided.
About. Decided to let the council members discuss with the NCSG who's put this up what they'd be willing to amendment. I don't think I come up with a decision.
But
as
the
to,
intention is to second the motion with a friendly.
Well, we haven't decided what friendly amendment there would be. I think that there's one friendly amendment generally had some support was to end with the word charter.
Right. And everyone then, said they.
And the question is, I guess, in a, if we can get a sense of the room, as between keeping it as it stands, ending it with the word charter. Or perhaps making it appear as if it was a reference to a statement, that would be...
Well, I think if we could develop a consensus around one thing best and that somebody should offer it back to just a period after charter.
Tony?
Well, I think it's important we make that call now. And you're right, three options on the table. The last one that was tabled was Malcolm's. Anyone... suggesting that we need to be quite clear when we leave here. Those of us in council are going to have to tackle this. Can we settle that one issue now?
Fair enough. Malcolm?
Okay, here's what I'd like to add. Council, before we ask Gavri, if she is willing to accept that too, as a friendly amendment with her support, then we go with dropping...
Malcolm, how do you deal with the fact that the GNSO council does not make...
What is the status of that regarding on... the successful completion of the CCDW.
Remember the document you're referring
to? Well, whatever it is, that's the one that...
It was a statement.
Right, okay. So...
Can we agree with that conceptually and then again put it in the hands of the councillors, the word to match whatever the actual actions of GNSO would be?
Let's see what...
Excellent. That's an awfully big group to be trying to find...
Yes, I know, unfortunately.
On words.
Well, maybe a show of hands may be the best we can do in this... So the first proposal, the one as Malcolm put on the table, would be to changing it to working through the process as agreed upon in the CCWG charter or making any GNSO statements declaring support or opposition to possible outcomes.
I think it's completely off the target.
Heather?
I realize I'm making a friendly amendment to it. Why not just say before declaring support? Why are we talking about resolutions and...
Because we started with resolutions and then made a small change.
If we say to working through the process as agreed order before declaring support, because there are set ways under the GNSO operating procedures in which...
Yes.
So if we simply leave it understood that council operate in the way that council is required to operate...
That gets us out of the process rabbit hole that we were all following each other down. So that would be to working through the process as agreed upon in the CCW charter before declaring support or opposition to possible outcomes. That sound?
Yep.
We get a general show of support for that or not? See if any opposition to that. The general support and passive support, or I'd say no objection, as they say in the GAC. No objection and support.
Just to encourage accountability, and it's a fantastic job. It's such an...
Tony?
Just to pick up on the point we just know about whether it's a statement or a resolution, helpful to let Avery know or make it quite clear to her how we do.
So moving on to the next item in our agenda, not far off of this item, appears that Leon is delayed in joining us, but we have our... personal A team at the front of the, Steve Del Bianco and Jonathan as well. I'll give the floor over to you to discuss where the accountability group is and back or discussion might be helpful in this CSG.
Greg, I'll try to focus it very carefully. We have only 30 minutes, and I wanted most of you rest assured then that as you meet as constituencies today, circle back with the officers of each that learn what feedback is coming back on the CCWG current state of play. So I've separated this into three brief sections. One is to make sure that you understand how hard I'm working on the CSG comments way through the third draft. A couple of things happened after the second draft that IPC and ISPs need to comment on. And then finally, some late-breaking developments on the decision-making model and the enforcement model. And I'll be able to cover that in about 15 minutes. So the first is that there were extensive comments from the ISPs, the IPC, and the BC, and I thank you for paying such close attention to it. I do my best to keep everyone informed. But when the comments came back from the three of you, it's really where I figure out what CSG member constituencies care about. So I highlighted here just four comments that, in particular, I'm having to pull the oar to get through in the revisions to the next draft. And that's where help from participants like Ann and Phil and Greg and Jonathan and those who are actively engaged in the CCWG are essential. First, the ISPs, in a relatively brief comment, said they didn't believe the GAC should have any voting in the vote mechanism. And wasn't true of the other two constituencies. It leaves me in a hell of a place to figure out what to do about that. And if you were worried about putting a thumb in the eye of the ALAC, well then we could spend the rest of the day thinking about the thumb in the eye of the GAC. And this isn't the only one, whether they vote on exercising a community power, but my own thumb through stress test 18 has exerted a lot of groans of agony from the GAC. In the end, it may not matter too much because the GAC has a difficult time coming to a consensus and coming to a position under their current decision-making. However, we want to do everything we can to try to accommodate the reality that the governments are a stakeholder, and if we're going to have a community decision-making mechanism, count ACs and SOs, do we count some ACs and not other ACs? GAC gives advice to the board, but when we come up with a community mechanism that's going to decide whether to block a bylaw or block a budget, the community comes together and has to say, well, community, do we want to block a bylaw? Do we want to block a budget? So just consider the reality. We go around the room and ask all six of the ACs and SOs, and we don't ask the GAC. To me, not a good move. And I'm responding to the ISPs, and I don't have a lot of other support to shut the GAC off. Talk further with the ISPs about that. But that's where that is like GAC would have one equal vote like on AC. Second element was 29 and 30. Stress test 29 and 30 came out of the blue at the end of the came from New America Foundation, and they wanted to try to stimulate a discussion as to whether the revised bylaws and mission and core values could be used as a way of ICANN from enforcing voluntary contracts like PIC, or could it be used to block enforcement of consensus policy now outside of a narrowly defined mission statement, or if GAC advice developed into top-down requirements. They kill those because they didn't come through the bottom-up process. Well, I ran the stress test on it, and the answer was maybe. I can't predict what an IRP panel would say, but, you know, maybe. And that certainly has set off a storm. Many in the IPC said, Steve, delete stress test 29 to 30. I wish it were that easy. Couldn't delete them, but I'm absolutely grateful for Steve and Greg giving me some ideas on how to rephrase the analysis of the stress tests. And Steve and circulated to you and Greg over the weekend my recommendation for that. And I do hope that Greg has given me a markup. We should continue to talk that through. We don't have the time here to go through the details, but we're going to work that as hard as we can. Greg has his finger on the button, so I think I need to stop. Is that right? I
wanted to say in response to that, I'm working up another redraft in response to some other comments that on the list in a way that will take care of the issue, because the way that 29 and 30 framed it was basically that if ICANN enforced its contracts such that registrations were canceled or non-compliant registrars were held to be in breach of their contract, terminated, that would make ICANN a regulator of content. That's what the outcome originally was stated, and that, you know, clearly assumes a particular theory of rather than an actual, you know, potential outcome.
Let me suggest in the IPC, you have much to discuss on this today. Please, I would ask you, and Jonathan will be there, Paul, Greg, Steve, please dedicate some of your agenda, if you can, to work by solution to that, because here's where we're headed right now. We're going to ask the lawyers in CCWG to recognize what we've been asking for all along, which is that let's clarify that any mission statement, bottom-up requirement, cannot be used to stop the contracts or consensus policies. Got that back, Greg. That's mostly what I want to understand, is that solve it. Because stress test 2930, you know what? Thank God they were there, because they have helped us to identify this potential risk. Now all we have to worry about is how to solve the risk, and you don't solve changing a word of 29 and 30. They're just stress tests. To solve this risk, we need to make sure the lawyers give us the right language for the mission statement and core values that has a carve-out for bottom-up policies and a carve-out for the enforcement of terms of contract, regardless of whether they're in the mission. So I would just encourage you to do that. I know, Paul, if your hand's up on this one, please discuss it in the IPC. We don't have the time to go into this detail.
Real quickly, I'm sorry. It's actually my question was about the one before. It's a much more pedestrian question. if that gets a vote, do they have a time frame within which to vote, because they move incredibly slow?
Great point. In the decision-making method, we'll base the timing on urgency, because each AC and SO takes their own time to make decisions. Urgency of a budget, let's suppose somebody wanted to move a community power to block a budget in 90 days. Well, sometimes the time frame will be, the board has a bylaws change that we're trying to block. The board is ready to consider it. And a lot of those timings will be dictated from the outside, but we cannot require the GAC to act quickly. Mostly we can do is to say there's a deadline here and invite them to respond. That's all we can do, Paul.
What happens if they don't? Is that a defect?
Okay, hang on. I'll get to that later, because decision-making rule is support in the absence of objections. So if the GAC is unable to indicate support and unable to give an objection, it doesn't matter. Okay, so I have two more. Think about what we have here. It's 10:23. We quit at 10:45. My goal was to show you we are working hard to implement the CSG priorities through the process. I understand the specificity we need, because I've circulated to each of the leaders yellow highlighted notes of how we're proposing to change the third draft to accommodate CSG concerns. And that's what I need you to focus on. We can't do that in this meeting. You need to do it in your respective constituency sessions or for this meeting, and get back to me before we produce the third draft, which is certainly not going to be, Greg, for 3 weeks or so. Agreed? All right, so the third area is the IPC was very astute, and nobody else picked this up, but you were right. The affirmation of commitment number 7, not part of the reviews, but commitment number 7 was supposed to go into the core values, and when Becky Burr wrote that second draft, all she did was show deltas from the first. A lot of stuff that's still in the current table didn't make it to the report. So thank you for pointing that out. No problem. We're going to make sure it shows in the next one. And then finally, the IPC said, what happened to the balancing test? Same, framed it as a delta instead of a new one. So those are both. All right, I wanted to quickly move to three things I'd like the constituencies to consider came up after the publication. The first is you recall, we were bringing from the affirmation of commitments all four of the reviews into the bylaws, and we brought in the parameters of those pretty much verbatim. Well, one of the reviews, the Who Is review, only stirred up the board, and Steve Crocker gets on the phone on a CCWG call and bring the Who Is review into the bylaws. It's going to be dangerous and destructive. The organization, Greg, you were on that call. It was amazing. And so we sat back a little bit and said, well, what do you want it to say? And 4 weeks later, the board came back very closely matches to what was in the affirmation and even had the blessing of NTIA. So the BC commented that we found it to be acceptable, the board's slight tweak to the Who Is language. If you don't call, I can send the leaders of each constituency another copy of that for you to consider. But I do hope that you'll join the BC in supporting that new Who Is language. I think it's just as strong as we needed it to be. Another is the review team composition. IPC was the strongest at saying, when we do these reviews, how many seats get allocated to the GNSO? And initially, the second draft had basically 3. 7 ACs and SOs, and each would get 3 members. It could have it. But in truth, we haven't had a review team that had any more than about a dozen members that did any work. And I have suggested that why would you tell the GNSO you can't have 5 or 6 people that want to do the work? So I have proposed a change to the third draft that would say that there would be 21 members of a review team, and that would be 3 for each ASO. But if an AC didn't give you 3 names, let's say the RS SAC or SAC didn't come up with 3 names on a Who Is review, care, maybe not care, then those extra slots could be filled by volunteers from an organization like the GNSO, who had a lot of people that were interested. And that's as far as I've gotten it so far. I'm hitting resistance from ALAC, who says we ought to cut it off at 14. I don't know where that came from, but do some help working that angle through as well. The third element that you should consider is that in the affirmation of review, the affirmation of commitments review on the new GTLD program, the advice of the CSG in the first round of public comments, and suggested we add a line in there in the bylaws that said that the next round of expansion couldn't begin until the implementation recommended improvements indicated by the consumer trust, consumer choice, and competition review team. This is the CCT review team Jonathan Zook had worked on from the Zook resolution days, and it's being teed up to start in the next couple of months. The only guy to have a resolution named after him, so he's got a lot to live up, and I hope you're going to be on that review team. But here's what's happened to that. Initially, only the board of directors objected to that, saying that they wanted compression. And then the contract parties realized they probably hadn't paid enough attention to that little one line we had. They're objecting to it. So here's what currently we're recommending. We're recommending that the review team on consumer choice, consumer trust, and would indicate in its recommendations which must be implemented before the next round and which could be done concurrent or after. That way it becomes part of the public comment period and public record. And if the board decides not to accept any of the review team's recommendations, then we have the power to pursue an independent review, to challenge that, to work it on public comments to that extent. Sort of a compromise solution besides a hard and fast requirement that everything be implemented, giving the board complete discretion. And it puts it in the hands of the review team, which makes it all the more important that we have a lot of representation from CSG on the review team for the next round. Those are the three items I wanted you to consider, and then jump to three items that have latest development up in the past 4 days. This is this notion of a community decision-making model. Paul, you asked a few moments ago, like, what happens if the GAC doesn't indicate a decision? Well, decision, Paul, is the community decision. It's in the fourth step of this ladder. This notion of an escalating path came out of the CCWG meeting in Los Angeles, where we endeavored to say that enforcement, or whatever it is an ultimate last resort. It's on the top right-hand step. And there are many, many places to get off of this escalator, this stairwell, the Stairmaster, to get off of it long before then. Process of constructive engagement, not only with the community, but having the board in the room. So this is a series of steps, including conference calls hosted on Adobe, face-to-face meetings at the tail end or opening of a meeting. And the idea is to see whether there's, to completely test whether there's support in the community from the ACs and SOs to keep going. Relatively low level of support. It only takes two to get the pre-call. In most cases, two, in some cases, three of the ACs and SOs to say, yeah, let's call community forum for a day. And ICANN would provide travel support and staff support for a day meeting. And then it steps up one more level. You might need four AC and SOs to support blocking a bylaw, removing an individual board member. There are seven community powers. Four of them require four ACs and SOs to support. Three of them require three. That's the current proposal. But in all cases, it would take two ACs acting in order to kill it. In other words, we're trying to come up with a decision-making rule where no one party could kill a community power. Part of this was to get rid of this notion of weighted voting with percentage, come up with something that smells more like the consensus model we use at ICANN. So I'd be interested to see what feedback we get from members of the community on that. Greg, I'm doing a time check. It's 10:31. I only had two other things I was going to discuss, which was the enforcement model, community versus designator, and that's a rabbit hole that could consume the rest of the day for not much good. I could take general questions at the end of that. So if it's okay with you, I'll quickly cover.
Please go forward. This is basically the last item on the agenda.
Thank you. So we also have this notion of an enforcement model. In the top right step, Greg is managing the Zoom here, but Greg, slide it to the left. People can see the word of whoever's controlling it. So enforcement would mean, gosh, we went all the way through to try to block a bylaws change. We had four ACs and SOs in support. Maybe the SEC said no, but you know what? The community power has been exercised. Turn it over to the board, and they proceed anyway and pass the bylaw. But what do we do next? We can do an independent review panel that would evaluate whether ICANN has followed the bylaws. We change the bylaws. The bylaws give the community the authority to block a bylaws change. So if the board's not following bylaws, say, we can challenge that with an IRP. It might take several months. And if it's a community IRP, P is who pays for it. If it's a community-based IRP supported by only three ACs and SOs, ICANN pays the legal fees of the IRP. Real neat community powers that we've come up with. But an IRP, as I said before, could take a few months. What happens at the end of the IRP? The panel comes back and says, you know, we think the board was okay to deny that. Where the panel comes back and says, support the community, and the board ignores it. Either way, you go to the next step, which is enforcement. So we got all wrapped around the axle in CCWG about when, if ever, would you ever need to go to court to enforce a decision on ICANN. And I'm no lawyer, but I feel like I've studied 4 years of law school in the past year here. But the membership model was very strong on enforcement. Statutory rights to the members of a nonprofit California corporation. If each of the ACs and SOs were a member, that created some comments in the first round. So we said that the community mechanism as a whole is sole member. That's why we call it the sole member. So the member would have the ability to directly enforce the ability to block a bylaws change. Board, as you probably know, decided to draw a line in the sand and say they would not accept a membership model. Heard lots of different rationales for why. Started by saying that the member has the statutory power in California to dissolve the corporation, and they're afraid the member might do that. Or the member can propose bylaws changes, afraid that we might do that. We came back with an answer that we could constrain the more troubling powers by requiring in the bylaws that the member couldn't do those things without unanimous support. Clearly, that wasn't satisfactory because I don't really think that was their concern all along. I just believe that Jones Day, ICANN's legal department, dead set against moving to member. I don't think the U.S. Congress or the U.S. Commerce Department care one way or the other about this. They want the community to have consensus, but it was clear we were not going to get consensus. And to bring us full circle, said at the beginning of the meeting that ALAC had adopted a resolution yesterday saying they would no longer support the sole member. So this whole debate between member and the next best statutory enforcement, which is called designator. Designator gives certain rights, statutory rights, to spill the board and remove board members. Gives you sort of that ultimate power with a board that's not agreeing to go along with the community. Doesn't give you as many of the other explicit rights that membership would do. Yesterday afternoon, Bruce Tonkin read out a statement from the board of directors where they walked back an earlier statement and said, at this point, they are prepared to consider and support a move to designator. So a lot of this is late-breaking news, and I circulated to the leaders of the constituents last night what was said. So we are currently planning two more working sessions, one tomorrow and one on Thursday in the CCWG, where we'll further explore putting meat on the bones of designator and assessing whether we think it's adequate in terms of enforcement. I'm just trying to put enforcement in context. Whether you're a member or designator never matters until the board has dissed you times and you have to go all the way to the step of enforcement. There are multiple steps along the road. Whether you're a member designator does not affect the day-to-day operation of ICANN, and it doesn't affect any of the steps in this stair. You get off the top step of enforcement. So with that, happy to take questions.
Even then, Lori.
Steve Metallitz. I just want to thank you, Steve, for all the work you've done on this on our behalf, and also your very clear explanations, very concise. Let me just say on the contract issue, the stress test 29 and 30 issue, the IPC's goal is to make sure that ICANN's ability to negotiate, interpret, and enforce its contracts is enshrined in ICANN's fundamental documents, and it sounds as though the approach you're taking would do that by more or less the opposite way, by saying you can't use these mechanisms to overturn enforcement of a voluntary contract. So that's great news. Thank you also for listing the items that we need to talk about in the constituency meeting. I will say on the first one, I think the wording of the who is review, that had just come out at the time we were preparing our comments, and I think we indicated in the comments that we were favorably inclined to it. We're waiting on, you know, to actually look through it a little bit more. But I think that when I mentioned that we're taking the who is review issue off the table in our meeting with the board, it's really because of that. It was in reaction to Crocker's comments, and I think it's pretty much been resolved. We certainly don't want to raise the profile necessarily. We'll take a look at those other issues as well, and thanks again for...
Steve, thank you. And if I could quickly reply on this notion of enforcing contracts. CSG also includes the ISPs, and not clear yet what the ISP view is on this. Malcolm's been quite vocal, and we're not going to work out and have that debate right here and now, but we may end up with CSG having somewhat different positions on whether the mission statement can be so confining that you couldn't even enforce a contract provision that went outside the mission, even if it was a voluntary item proposed. But we don't have the time for the debate, but just to give you a heads up, IPC and BC, one place, ISPs could be another.
I'll just mention briefly the concept of a voluntary, the use of the term voluntary contract or voluntary provision kind of creates perhaps some confusion between the voluntary PIC specs, which were voluntarily put in the contract by the registry party alone and just accepted by ICANN, and just general contract terms, which in a sense are voluntary because you're signing on to them. So it's really the broader sense that we need to get to and not concentrate on solely on the voluntary PIC specs, because that actually leaves out the issue that I think, you know, we care about most. Paul, and then... Sorry, Laurie and then Paul.
Hi. I really appreciate, too, all of your explanations, but I'm still just a little confused, and I just want to make sure I understand. So in a designator model, there are designated powers to the board. That's, and the designator is the community, or that's what I'm trying to sort in my mind.
Might be better. It's the community, okay. The board, and the community under designator model has unquestioned legal authority to dump the board. It has less legal authority to block a bylaw, block a budget. With me on that?
Right,
so it's the community, to answer your question.
Okay,
and
so
we can give you a detailed definition later.
And I can ask you later, too. I just want to make clear in my own head that the community is the designator.
The answer is yes. And,
okay.
And Greg, circulate, if you don't mind, the two-column version of the document from yesterday along with the board statement. I sent it to you yesterday, and I know that the IPC, the ISPs have it as well.
For your amazing work on this, one question about the designator versus member. The member can sue the designator, right? Or am I misunderstood?
If the designator said spill the board and the board didn't leave, the designator can go to court, get a court order, throwing them out of the building. So that's what they can do. What can the designator not do? Let's suppose that the member wanted to block a budget. Well, the member can go to court and get an injunction on blocking a budget. The designator doesn't have that power in California law.
Next in the queue, I've got Jonathan Cohen.
Hi, Steve. Was any discussion had in your model of how the steps take place? You get to the top, we have an independent review panel. Is there any discussion about possibly amending the bylaws or creating a bylaws, a decision of the IRP or any appeal thereof by creating an appeal process to a separate panel? Let's say you have a 3-panel IRP and a 5-panel appeal, and if you lose, the board is required to...
I can help move it along. You're getting to the notion of if it's a binding IRP,
yes.
Any court that recognizes international arbitration will enforce a binding IRP. Jonathan, what if the board won't agree to be binding? And therein lies the lack of power.
I understand.
There's where we're stuck.
Okay. Olivier?
Yes, a small question. You mentioned many times a third draft. So there should be or there will be a third draft, because if there is a third draft then a comment period, then we're off. Of the track.
Thank you, Olivier. So there's no question there'll be another draft. We've got so many public comments and tweaks and innovations this week. So we know there'll be a third draft. The question being evaluated now is, do we go with that third draft and call it in CCW, cross-community ICANEs, you call it a final draft. That's an amazing oxymoron. And is it a final draft that gets handed to the 5 chartering organizations? And GNSO is a chartering organization. So do we go to final draft, where each chartering organization would say, you know, we're good with 4 out of the 5 recommendations, but we want to make some changes. The public might well find that it has an opportunity to work its comments through each of the ACs and SOs, but there's no decision yet whether or not we have to do a public comment before final draft that then goes to the chartering organizations. Mm-hmm. The introduction of a public comment period and the analysis of public comment adds at least 2 months to the process. Mm-hmm. So we've done 2 rounds of public comments, and we're going to begin to discuss it. One of my jobs today is to find out from each of the constituencies in the CSG whether you think we have to do a public comment or can the final draft go directly to the chartering organization, GNSO. So I'd be interested in lots of feedback on that from you.
Just another small question. Concerning the removal of individual board members, what I was not exactly what I heard yesterday from Chris at the meeting, because I had the feeling that the appointing organization, that individual board member has all the power. I mean, it initiates the process. There is a discussion.
Of course. You're exactly right, and I'm sorry if I glossed over that.
And it decides.
You know, we just didn't have the time to go through each and every power,
okay.
But you're exactly right.
Thank you.
But please, Olivier, tell me what your opinion is, by the end of the day, about public comment. Do we need another round of public comment, or do we go right to the chartering organizations?
I think we cannot have the time. I mean, time, I think.
I've got, Anne,
yeah, just
Tony,
very quickly,
and then Phil, and then we're going to have to drop off.
Very quickly, I think to answer Laurie's question, and I think it's a question a lot of people would have, indirectly involved, the big difference between the sole member and the sole designator is that sole member has essentially specific performance enforcement powers to do the actual one of the 5 listed, you know, community powers other than removal. And that's because in the membership corporation, California lawyer, but those powers reserved to the member it relieves the board of their fiduciary responsibility. That's why you can get specific enforcement. With the sole designator model, the board is never, you know, relieved of its liability to make an independent decision in the lives of its discretionary judgment. So when you go to arbitration or IRP in that context, what you're looking at, did the board violate its fiduciary duty or not? And you're not really looking at the substance of the decision itself. You look to it well procedurally. And the ultimate enforcement mechanism in sole designator, thus, is just the threat of removing the whole board to try to get them to, you know, make the decision once. So it's direct, and we're talking through some examples in relation to the powers. Oh, and I think it might be helpful for Jonathan to talk a little bit about what he did. Very, very constructive.
Unfortunately, I think we're out of time. We have two people.
We got it all worked out and great.
That's very helpful. Thank you, Jonathan.
They divided it into discretionary and non-discretionary. The non-discretionary continues on forever, and discretionary is all we can challenge. So it's perfectly reasonable. Stop ICANN from operating. It's just discretionary. That
funding a Save the Penguins conference. So I've got Tony and then Phil. That closes the queue.
Okay, thanks, Greg. First thing is that I think as a group, we all owe a huge vote of thanks to all those who've on this, Greg, Wolf Ulrich, and Steve. You've done an amazing job here. Really appreciate what you've done. As a constituency, I think, thanks to your help and involvement, we're pretty much aware of where we stand on issues. One of the things that bothers me is that for some of our members, I think whilst they understand where we are, they don't always appreciate why we have opposing views, even within the CSG, on some of these issues. It leads me on to my second worry, which is what Olivier brought up, the issue of whether we have a public comment. It really bothers me that if we haven't got that understanding in the CSG, we don't have a public comment period, and we do this within GNSO as a chartering organisation, we could have some much bigger problems there. So one of the things that I think would help us get over this, that the next couple of months are really going to be intense, they're going to be vital for this. It would be a really good thing if we could actually maybe set up some CSG calls with you, Steve, as these next steps become apparent, where we're all involved, because I think it's just as important that we understand where we have differences, and currently I don't think that is clear. So if
I'm happy to join calls you already have. For instance, if the ISPs are having a
That's
call.
Not my point. My point is that as ISPs, we know where we are, but we don't understand some of the nuances that other members of the CSG have got where they have opposing opinions. That's why I think we need it at the CSG level.
And I'll check with ISPs and BC today about that, and I think it's a great idea. We probably just host a conference call with or without Adobe and do something rather lightweight. Thanks, Tony.
Good idea as well. We could have a Q&A session for members of the constituencies. I'm sure we can arrange, you know, the support for that.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm speaking personally now. I think accountability method, whatever it's going to be, is important. But what's equally important, not quite sure how we get it, is how to change the mindset of the board and how to get board members in favor of much greater transparency and feel much stronger communities they came from rather than going through this personality transformation that happens when we go on the board now. And how to create a culture of accountability among the staff where they see the community is someone they serve rather than an impediment to their plans. On whether we need a public comment, I think we go with, again, speaking personally, I'll convey whatever message the BC reaches in, on council, but I think the difference in enforceability between sole member and designator is significant enough, and following up on Tony, that we need to take the temperature of the community, make sure, use that comment period to demonstrate that there is consensus support and to raise any final fine-tuning adjustments before we take it to the chartering organization. I'm afraid that if we rush to the chartering organizations with a significantly different proposal than the one we had a comment on that closed last month, that we might create more delay and trouble wouldn't expedite things.
Depends on what the public comments are. As somebody who's analyzed and read every single one of the 88 comments, many of the comments suggest brand new ideas. Jonathan Cohen came up with a brand new idea, and then suddenly don't really have consensus. And it's all constructive, but people enter the process very late, and it's extremely difficult to measure. There are risks either way.
Also, I'd say in many cases, you don't have, say, in whatever 90-odd comments, you have 23 comments that even addressed a particular issue, so that means that 70 didn't. And then out of those, you know, 11 supported, 4 were against, and 7 had completely new ideas. You take from that as it's an idea gathering process, but it's not a consensus building, my take on it. In any case, we are out of time. So we've eaten up the all other business, but I don't think we had any other business. So I think at this point, I would suggest that we adjourn the meeting and move into the auditorium for our roundtable with the board. Thank you all for attending this meeting of the Commercial Stakeholder Group. This meeting is now adjourned, and we can stop the recording. Thank you.